Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Steiner.
That would be a little weird.
It'd be so.
If you put your 30% chance up against my 75% chance, you have a 122% chance of getting an albino squirrel from Steiner, Mississippi.
At sacrifice.
That's correct.
There you go. Good Steiner math there to start our day off. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It's what's for my dinner tonight. We're making some steak and some lo mein noodles with some stir-fried veggies. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a good meal. Weeknight meals are made easier with beef. Beef is so quick to cook, and it's so versatile. You can just put it in anything. You want to do Mexican? Beef. You want to do Italian? Beef. You want to do Asian? Beef. You want to do Cajun? Beef. You see where I'm going with this. If you just want to eat a steak, beef. So do that. If you're looking for recipes, they've got it at MSBeef.org. I feel like it's that scene from Step Brothers. Pow.
Pow.
Yeah, exactly. Is he saying pow?
Pow. I want to punch you in the face right now.
It was in international waters. So. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Like Kobayashi. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Folks, the interlocking push is on. And so if you're looking for great gear with that logo, I got it for you at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can always shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town, always, always at Restaurant Tyler. Make it easy on yourself, guys. If you're looking for a great place to go, you know Restaurant Tyler. It's been there for years. They've been serving fantastic lunch. They've been serving outstanding dinners. Everybody in the SEC, I have so many friends around the conference, and they're always like, man, when you come to Starkville, Restaurant Tyler is always on the list. When the ESPN guys come into town, Restaurant Tyler. SEC now, I tell you that I know for a fact that Tom Hart and Cole Kubelik and Jordan Rogers, regulars at Restaurant Tyler whenever the SEC network brings them here. So eat where the big boys eat. That's what you want to do. Go ahead and grab a reservation today at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, you got questions about your money. You need answers. You need to get those answers from a bank that knows you the way they know your money. You need to talk to our good friends over at PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Bobby Falk has returned from Memphis, where he saw the Legends Creed last night.
Yes.
And ate some good. Great choice, by the way. Central Barbecue.
Central was my favorite barbecue place.
Looked like a great meal.
I went to two different Central barbecue locations yesterday.
Really? So, you went to lunch and dinner?
Well, okay. So my buddy Moose and I, we went to the original Central Barbecue.
Okay.
And we ate there. We were supposed to meet up with the big group that we were going to be with, but they were kind of running behind, and we were starving. We had not had food since breakfast, and it was like 3-4 o'clock. I know. God bless our souls for going 6 hours without eating.
How you live?
But yeah. So we got there. I got a half rack of ribs. he knocked out a full rat, a slab of ribs, just wiped them out. His plan going in was to like eat half of them and then save the rest for after the concert, and that didn't happen. That
How
was
does that work? How, what are you going to leave them in the car?
we were gonna go to the hotel and
Okay.
put them up, but anyways, we went there and then we went to another location that they went to, where they told us it was close to Bill Street, so it was walking distance. It was actually like a mile away in the blazing hot sun in a very sketchy area of Memphis, I would say. It's the location right next to the Lorraine Motel,
Right.
so it was not a great location, but all the same, the barbecue was fantastic.
Awesome. Glad you had a great time. Glad you're back with us here as we
Yeah.
excuse me, as we get
I needed
for
it.
football. Oh yeah.
I
It's time
needed some
for football.
creed in my life.
Yeah. So as you're listening today on the 29th, Mississippi State is having its annual media day, which is the one day of the year where Robbie and myself and the rest of the media on the beat get to talk to the assistant coaches. We're scheduled. It's basically a car wash. We're going to start with Coleman Hutzler, and we're going to work our way through the entire staff, including director of, I guess he's, I think he's director of football ops is his title, Mark Votler. So get a chance to
I
talk
think
to
it might
him.
be like GM.
I'm not 100% sure what the title is there. I just, you know.
I will handle that for you.
Why don't you do that? That's why we need an actual, like, real live producer. Where's Brooks Roberts when I need him?
He is the general manager.
General manager. There you go.
Or
Well,
in a
no, I
general
call Brooks
great guy.
her. Brooks is not a her. He's very much a him.
That's right.
Yes, and Mark is a good guy. So looking forward to those conversations. We'll have a full recap of that. Do we need to do rump? Do we need to push rumblings? What we got to do?
Well, we can do rumblings.
Okay, and then we'll recap everything we talked about on Thursday's show, I guess.
Yeah.
Today, though, I wanted to focus on one particular player. This is a player that I've become kind of enamored with over the past few months. The more I've thought about what I think he can do in this system and what he can bring, and that's Devon Booth. I was really surprised after SEC Media Days when he didn't have any All-SEC consideration. When you consider that he's one of the leading returning rushers in the conference, and I did a little extra digging, basically. So Devon Booth last year rushed for 759 yards in 12 games, right?
Yep.
However, he rushed for 58 yards in the first three games. So, not great. And then, I mean, when you really break it down, he had 39 yards on eight carries against Eastern Kentucky, which isn't bad, right? It's almost 5 yards a carry and a touchdown. Combined in Toledo and Arizona State, 12 carries for 19 yards. Then after that, he was really good the rest of the year. He had two games that you would say weren't great. They were against Georgia, elite defensive line last year, and Ole Miss, elite defensive line last year.
Two of the best lines in college football.
Every other game, he had 75 yards against Florida, 59 yards against Texas, not terrible, 79 against A&M, 93 against Arkansas, 76 against UMass. And then the two big games were at the end there, 125 on Tennessee, 124 on Missouri. If you take out the, you know, if you, his first three games, obviously not a lot going on there. He averaged 84 yards per game the rest of the way. If you get 84 yards per game in a 12-game season, that's over 1,000 yards. Now, I say that knowing that Fluff Bothwell and Johnny Daniels, and to some extent Xavier Gayton, and to some extent Blake Shapen, will play a role in the running game this year. But if there's one thing we know about Jeff Lebby, it's that he's always been able to get the ball and spread it around in his offense. Another thing we always know is that every year in the SEC, it appears, especially the past 4 or 5 years, it has been how to put it, there's been a running back that sort of comes out of nowhere and has a monster season. If you want to look at last year, I would go with Trey Wisner being that guy. You know, took over that job at Texas due to some injuries and ends up being a 1,000-yard rusher. 2023, we all remember Cody Schrader. That was not a guy who had a lot of hype coming into the season at all and ends up being the leading rusher in the conference by a large margin. The year before that, it's got to be Quinshon Judkins. Comes to Ole Miss as a freshman. You remember they had recruited Zach Evans and they thought he was going to be the big rusher there. And Judkins comes in and he rushes for nearly 1,600 yards, and he's the leading rusher in the conference. 21, I think we're going to go with Tyler Beatty, another Missouri running back there. But I don't, you know, he was a guy that had a tremendous season. He was the leading rusher in the conference. And these are guys that, you know, going into the season, you didn't have a whole lot of talk about them, you know. Missouri, you look at Beatty's numbers, the year prior to 2021, in 2020, he rushed for 240 yards. He had only rushed for about 1,000 yards in his career in three previous years at Missouri. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 1,600 yards. Judkins was a freshman, 1,600 yards. Schrader coming out of, was he an NAIA guy, a D3 guy? I don't remember
Yeah, I think it
exactly.
was D2 or D3.
Yeah, something like that, 1,600 yards. And then last year with, you know, Wisner. Yeah, the leading rusher in the conference last year was Dylan Sampson. Everybody knew him. He was a big time talent, but there's always this guy. I think Booth can be that guy this year. I really have bought into the idea that he will be, even with the committee approach that I think State's going to take, I think he will be a 1,000-yard rusher for Mississippi State.
Yeah, you look at the fact that he started as slow as he did, and he still almost hit 800 yards rushing last year. And you had a guy that had nearly 1,000 yards receiving. I mean, this offense could truly be very balanced whenever it's at its best. And I think you have to factor in the offensive line too, that the offensive line was playing very well for most of the year last year, but especially early on during the season. If the offensive line is better this season, and Devon Booth being now a year into the system, year and a half at this point, this could be a really big year for him. I'm interested to see how it plays out from a workload standpoint. They never really put a heavy workload on any back. It was pretty balanced between he and Johnny Daniels. Kevon Lee too was a big part of things before he got injured. So what do they do with the running backs? What's the workload? You don't have to put a heavy workload on Devon Booth. He can carry it 12 to 15 times a game. You can give it to Fluff Bothwell 12 to 15 times a game, and you give it to Johnny Daniels another 8 to 10. And that's essentially what you do. I don't know what their plan is, but I'm intrigued to see how it plays out and what his numbers look like with a full season where he's ingrained in the offense. He kind of knows what he's doing, and hopefully you got some guys up front that are going to be able to pave the way for him. I think you have a bigger offensive line this year, which should be conducive for running the football a little better. We'll see what it does in the pass game, but I think that he has a chance to have a huge season. It was almost like picking up a free agent or a transfer, getting him back, because you go into December and you don't expect him to return, and you felt good about your running back situation. You're going to have Johnny Daniels and Fluff Bothwell and Xavier Gayton. You had the two talented freshmen coming in. Like the running back situation was in good shape. Well, now you had a guy that's been playing a lot of college football and who was in this offense last year, who rushed for almost 800 yards, and Devon Booth, and was playing his best football late in the year. It was really kind of a bummer seeing him in that season the way that he did in those last few games, because you felt like you didn't waste him, but you could have gotten a lot more out of him. And so getting him back for another year, I think, is huge.
I think when you talk about the rotation, for me, I think, MSU fans, forgive me for using this terminology, but I really do feel with Booth and Bothwell, it's a 1A, 1B kind of situation. Both of those guys will be the top dogs. Daniels will be the third option for sure. And then
Really
Gayton,
good third options.
I mean, as the third options go, getting a guy back who rushed for nearly 600 yards last year
5 yards every time he touched it.
is a perfectly acceptable guy. And then with Gayton being your fourth option, there's some real depth there. It goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago when we did this breakdown. We said if every position was like this at Mississippi State, you'd be talking about a college football playoff contender. This is a really good group for this team. Another thing with Booth this year that you didn't see as much of last year, he only had 13 catches. I think he's a plus receiver, though. And I feel like sometimes when you have a young cornerback like you had last year with Van Buren, you know, he's so focused down the field and he's just not reading through the defense and getting to his check downs. He took some sacks. I think that having a veteran like Chapin, he's going to find Booth more often. I won't be surprised to see that number, you know, jump up to 25 plus catches this year. And if that's the case, we can put another 300-400 yards almost of total offense onto his account.
Yeah, I think that's totally possible. That's one thing that people miss. They talk about Blake Shapen, and he wasn't very impressive in the first few games or whatever. I do have to wonder what it looks like if Blake Shapen's healthy all of last year, because I think he's a better decision maker. I think he was a better passer in the short yardage game, which was a struggle for Michael Van Buren. Just the intermediate passes were kind of a struggle for him. The slants, the swing passes. That's something Blake Shapen, I think, could do extremely well. And that's where you see the running backs come into a slip screen, a swing pass, a wheel route, something like that. I think that they can help. Maybe not to the point that, like we saw with Mike Leach's offense, where your running backs were sometimes your leading receivers. But I do think that today he can help you out of the backfield. And when he gets in the open field, he can make some people miss. He's a pretty good all-around back. I'm looking forward to seeing how they utilize him this year.
Yeah, I am too. When I think about Booth, the first play that comes to mind is a miss, is the throw in the egg bowl where he's open, and if they can just get it that the ball there, he's going to score. But Van Buren underthrows it. I don't remember if it got picked off or if it got intercepted, but you know, instead of being a touchdown that puts Mississippi State back in the game, it ends up being a miss. I think it was picked off. And yeah, I just feel that's one of those plays I remember being in the press box thinking, you know, Shapen makes that throw. That's a throw he could make, and Van Buren just couldn't didn't make it in that situation. This you mentioned the size of the offensive line, and that's one of the things we've been talking about a lot over the past week or so is, you know, this game with Southern Mississippi coming up, that State should just have a big advantage there, offensive line versus defensive line. And they should be able to mush straight ahead. And again, I go back a year ago in that game against Eastern Kentucky, and State just didn't run the ball as well as I thought they would in that game. You look at it from the box score perspective, Shapen was the leading rusher in the game. State rushed for 203 yards on 35 carries, but that's taken into account Creed Whittemore having a 41-yard carry. He had an end around that he scored for a touchdown. So taking that out, you're talking about 34 carries for, you know, 162 yards. That's not great against an FCS team. State needs to get off to a much better start running the football this year. When we're talking about the Southern Mississippi game, they need to be well over 200 yards rushing without any, you know, one-off plays to a wide receiver. Between Booth, Bothwell, and Daniels, you need to be pushing the 200-yard mark. If you do that, you're going to win this game pretty easily. If you don't, it's going to be more of a struggle.
Yeah, that's you will know, I think, early on
Yeah.
if Mississippi State's ready to kind of get off the mat this year. I think you'll know. Like, if they come out, and it might not be the telltale sign of the season if they come out and they struggle a little bit, because I do think the offensive line can get better. But you would love to see that offensive line come out and just start mauling people in that first game. And that doesn't mean that they're going to set the world on fire this year, but it gives you a lot more peace about this offensive line this year than last year. I remember leaving that Eastern Kentucky game and thinking something just doesn't seem
Feel right, yeah.
right. I mean, they should have dominated them more than they did. So they should come out in that first game, and they should have success on the ground, and they should have some success through the air too. I think the biggest concern from that Southern Miss game is if State comes out of that and they score 27 points, 24 points. The offense is not really moving the football, not really scoring points. They need to be clicking offensively. And if the defense is giving up a couple of touchdowns, I mean, whatever. But the offense has got to be getting off the mat this year and doing something that sh is showing tremendous progress,
Yeah.
where people are really going to start jumping off that bandwagon.
You hit on something right there. There's a path for State to have some wins this year as long as the offense is really good. They can overcome the defense, assuming the defense isn't as bad as it was a year ago, which we don't think it's going to be. But there is no path for success for Mississippi State this year if the offense isn't good. It has to start there. State has to be able to outscore to win in shootouts, because that's what it's going to come down to. Probably a number of times this year. And I don't think that Southern Mississippi is going to be one of those necessarily, but it could be. And I think we've asked this question, but this, let's just put it on the record here. What is a more concerning outcome from you? Obviously, a loss is the most concerning, so we won't talk about that. But if State, are you more concerned if State wins 41-38 or if they win 21-17?
21-17.
Yeah. And that's crazy to think about how bad the defense was a year ago. And you're like, wow, they only gave up 17 points to a quarterback who's really good and an offensive coach who's really good. But if you only score 21
Because I
points,
like,
yeah.
well, here's the thing. I think Southern Miss's best transfers are on the offensive side of the ball.
They are.
And you look at, they got an all-conference quarterback who was outstanding last year at Marshall. They got a SEC running back and Jeffrey Pittman. They have SEC offensive linemen. They have playmakers at wide receiver. That offense should be. I'm not making excuses. The defense should not give up 38 points. I'm going to be concerned regardless. If either of those two scores would concern me, I would just be more concerned with the 21 to 17, just because you're not doing anything on offense. I mean, their defense, while they've added some pieces, they should be better than last year. That shouldn't be a defense that's a world beater, you know. And I could see the offense actually being really good for them this year. So both of those would concern me, but I would be much more concerned at 21-17.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if it's 41-38, you and I are just like, all right, well, defense isn't much better, but offensively they're going to be okay, and they'll find some ways to outscore some teams. 21-17 against Southern Mississippi, and you're just looking at them going, if they score 21 on the Southern Miss team, what are they going to score on Tennessee? And I mean, hell, on Arizona State the next week. So I agree with you. If it's got to be close, you really want it to be a shootout. You really want State putting up a lot of points and just, USM going toe to toe with that rather than a defensive slugfest for sure. But getting back to our original topic, Devon Booth to me, one of the most underrated players in the SEC this year. I really do think he has a chance to be an elite running back in this conference. And if Lebby's offense reaches its full potential, Devon Booth will be one of the guys who definitely benefits the most from it. I would think.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's an interesting thought process because while he's back for another year and you'd think he should take a big step forward, they've added another big piece in that room. You get a lot of guys to pass the ball around. What do those numbers look like this year? I'm just fascinated to see how it all plays out. I don't know if he's going to have more rushing yards this year, if he's going to take away a lot more carries from Booth and Daniels, I or Bothwell and Daniels. I don't know what is going to happen. That's what makes this all intriguing. But I do know this: it's not a bad thing to have all those options in the backfield. The more,
No.
the merrier back there, because all it takes is one guy going down, and is the next guy behind him even half as good? I think State's in a really good position at running back. It might not be that the case at most positions, but at running back, they're in really good shape. I think Anthony Tucker's done a great job with that group.
Yeah, totally agree with you. So, looking forward to seeing Booth in action. Gosh, we're just about a month away as we sit here right now. That's exciting to think about. All right. Let's move into our SEC preview for today. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. We're going to have a little bit of a, we're going to go off track a little bit here, but it'll all come back in just a second. As I've been telling you guys, on the 13th of August, we will be at Two Brothers Smoked Meats for Sports Talk Mississippi as part of our Not Fall Camp tour. I told you that we're going to have some great giveaways. I've found out today that we will have a selection of Genteel apparel for you guys to come by and try to get some polos and some performance hoodies that we're going to have. But more importantly, Robbie Falk, I asked Richard Cross directly, like, can we get something for Robbie Falk? And he said, yeah, sure. So I want to point out again that I'm doing everything I can for you here.
I appreciate
All
that.
right.
I have my doubts, but I
This
believe you.
time,
You showed me the text.
if he doesn't bring a shirt to this remote, would you prefer to 3D him or shatter machine him? I say we go shatter machine.
Okay, do you think we could do either one of those and come out of it feeling okay physically?
Probably not,
I'm
but
not worried about Richard, but I'm just talking about you and I. We have to stay healthy.
well, whoever the 3D is probably more. better for us on that one in that case. Because the Shatter Machine, you got to jump and get the knees up. I don't know that's going to be a
But
good.
we're going to 3D Richard on the Super Talk table.
I want to put him to the table. I was just going to do it on like the ground.
Oh, gosh.
Straight to concrete.
What are you doing on the concrete? Oh, my
well,
God.
If he doesn't get this shirt that I've asked twice now, three times now.
You're talking about breaking the guy's neck.
Robbie! Get the tables! All right.
You almost
forget.
Killed somebody one time, did you not?
That was Ryan Nelson. No, it was Brian McDuff. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't cradle his head properly, and he went face first into the dirt. My bad, guy. My bad. I was young and dumb. But that said, August 13th at Two Brothers Smoke Meats. But you don't need to wait for us to show up at Two Brothers. You can show up any old time you want. It's Taco Tuesday at Two Brothers Smoke Meats. Come by and get some great, great barbecue tacos today at Two Brothers Smoke Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50?
You sounded like Minnie Pearl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or like the church lady.
Yeah.
Satan? Is it Satan?
If you need technology for your business, you need a new copier, a new printer, whatever it is, call our friends at Advantage Business Systems to not only get the product that you're looking for, but get the service that you're looking for. To know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if something goes wrong, they're going to be there to take care of you and get you back up and running. Imagine some of these places that tell you, hey, it's going to be a week before we can get out there. So you got to go without a week without your copier, without your printer at work. Impossible. Don't make it a problem. Call Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Robbie, we just got an update here. Breaking news. Our buddy Hayes Brooks has said if we can make it by 6:30, he will feed us at the Neshoba County Fair. He's got about 10 slabs of ribs on the smoker.
Oh, my gosh. Hayes, why did you not tell me about this
where
earlier?
Where was this yesterday? Where was this information?
We could have planned this whole thing out.
Oh, well. That's all right. Those look fantastic.
Dadgummit.
Man, those look good. Hayes is a pit master. So,
yeah, you did a cook-off with him one time, did you not?
Did ribs. We did ribs. At the Super Bulldog Weekend cook-off. And, yeah, stayed up the whole night and was part of that. It was a lot of fun. So, I am a backyard griller. Hayes is a pit master. There's a difference.
Yes. I'm very sad now.
Yeah, well, I was sad, so I had to share it with you.
I could have done ribs 2 days in a row easily.
Oh, I do ribs any day. Any day.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey, if you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, the place to go when you need maroon and white gear is Maroon & Co. Again, guys, we're looking for interlocking stuff. They've got it, and they are going to be the exclusive provider. I know these branded Bills hats are the big thing right now, especially with the young folks. The exclusive provider in Starkville.
Fellow kids.
For the interlocking branded Bill hats, that's going to be at Maroon & Co. They've got a lot of great gear that you can only find at Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection. And they have our promo code so you can save some money. Thunder15, take 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to Davis Wade, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. You're going to be out in the yard this weekend. You're already thinking about it. You're always like, man, I got to get out there and mow the grass. I got to trim the weeds. I got to do this, that, and the other. Guys, make it easy on yourself. Put some John Deere power at your back with a trip to Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. Get a John Deere commercial mower. Get a Gator. Get the compact tractors. Big jobs, little jobs, whatever it is you're doing around the house, Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden has something that you need. If you're making repairs, they've got the tools that you're looking for. If you're working out in the garden, they've got the gear that you're looking for there. They got everything from the seeds to the tools, everything else. If you just want to cook out, they've got grills for you to buy. Everything a man needs in one spot, that's what I call Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. Go see our friends at Scruggs today in Saltillo. South Carolina was a surprising entrant into the college football playoff debate a season ago. I don't think either one of us had them as one of the top dogs overall. Now they got to go from the hunter to the hunted, but they do so with the guy who is the preseason SEC preseason first team quarterback in Lenora Sellers. It's not an easy schedule, so let's just dive right into it. They start the year off against Virginia Tech. That game is played on Sunday, August 31st, in Atlanta. Virginia Tech, by the way, starts the year off with two SEC teams.
Yeah. Huh. Are we thinking this is going to be a 50-50 crowd? Is it going to be South Carolina heavy?
Gotta be South Carolina heavy there at at Mercedes-Benz, right? You would think.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. Is their fan base pumped up? I don't know.
I think so.
I think I would go with South Carolina here.
I agree. I
You got a
agree.
returning quarterback. You got some pieces back. You got one of the best defensive linemen in the country. I think they win this game. Virginia Tech, too, has just kind of been up and down over
Yeah,
recent
they're just
years.
not what they used to
I
be,
don't
for
really have the
sure.
juice right now.
Yeah. South Carolina State, easy win there for the Gamecocks.
Should
They
be.
host Vanderbilt. I think that's a win for the Gamecocks.
Yep.
Then they're at Missouri. That's a very interesting early season game. Columbia at Columbia. We
The
have already
Battle
done
of
the, we've
Columbia.
already done the Missouri Tigers, and I had them as a win for the Tigers in this one. I have South Carolina losing this game.
I think Missouri wins as well.
Okay, so 3-1. They will host Kentucky the next week. I think that's a W.
Yep.
They're off, and then this is the stretch that kind of defines their season. At LSU. That should be a fun game. Carolina had them on the ropes last year. That terrible penalty call killed them in that game. And then Sellers got hurt.
Sellers going down killed him because I think they would have won if Sellers would have continued to play that game. They had all the momentum in that, and him going out just killed him. But with this being in Baton Rouge, I'm going with LSU.
Yeah, me too. They host Oklahoma. Last year, they dominated Oklahoma in Norman. I think that happens again. As you guys know, neither one of us are super high on the Sooners.
Yeah,
All right.
I'm gonna go South Carolina as well.
They're going to host Alabama. That's another team they had on the ropes last year and couldn't finish the job.
Upset alert! Upset alert!
You going out here?
I think I'm going with Bama, but
Ooh.
I am very, very weak on this pick because this feels like the big upset for Shane Beamer. He tends to get one every year, and this is a beatable Alabama team. You're playing it at Columbia. It's probably going to be a night game, if not a 3:30 game. So the crowd's going to be juiced up. It's going to be great atmosphere. They almost beat them last year. I'm leaning Alabama as of now, but I could very easily see South Carolina win this game.
So that weekend, your night game, it's almost certainly going to be Texas A&M at LSU. That's one of the night games. You have Missouri Vanderbilt. That'll be like 3:15 on
Or
SEC
the
Network.
late SEC Network game.
Yeah, Tennessee Kentucky. That's either or of those two games. Texas at Mississippi State, probably 11 a.m. Oh, is that no? That's not. That's a flex game.
Flex,
So,
just like this one.
yeah, you're probably right. All right, you said that you think that could be the upset. I've got it next week when they go to Ole Miss. I have them winning that game.
Interesting. I think Ole Miss wins that.
I just feel like the reason Ole Miss dominated South Carolina last year was their defensive line. And that defensive line, I just don't expect it to be as good. And I think Sellers will be able to run the football on them.
I just have very little faith in Shane Beamer winning road games in this league.
That's not a terrible take.
They've been really good at home. It's kind of like what Mark Stoops has done at Kentucky. Really good at home, very difficult team to beat there. And outside of Ole Miss, and they beat Florida a few years ago, Kentucky's just really struggled in big road games. That's kind of how I feel about South Carolina too. I'm not ready to pick an upset there. I'm gonna go Ole Miss.
I think it's more about Ole Miss. Like, I don't expect Ole Miss to be a 10-2 team
Yeah,
here. And
you're
so
expecting them to stumble
they
somewhere.
got to drop a couple games. I think they'll lose to LSU and Georgia. So I got to find maybe another game or two. This was the best possible choice for that, I thought. All right. So I've got them at this point. Let me double check my math here. I've got them loss, loss, loss. So I've got them 5-3, and you've got them 4-4.
I'm 5-3 too. I've got Oklahoma, Kentucky, Vandy, South Carolina State, Virginia Tech.
Then you've got them 5-4. And I've got them 6-3.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Off off the next week after Ole Miss, and they're at Texas A&M. Last year, they destroyed Texas A&M. You talk about a night atmosphere that ate somebody alive. That's what happened to A&M last year at Williams-Brice. They got crushed. I think they go to College Station and get the win.
Oh, I think A&M wins this.
Okay, so 5-5. Oof, that's a
This
step back.
is gonna be an early game too, though. This is
Is
probably gonna be
it
with
set for 11?
11 a.m. ESPN probably. That's upset city. That is upset territory.
So it's we this is like one of the first ones we've had a real divergence of opinion on. I have them right now at 7-3, and you've got them at 5-5. We'll both have them beating Coastal Carolina, so 6-5 for you, 8-3 for me. I have them losing the final game of the season to Clemson, though. Clemson is one of my teams I think can win the national championship. That was a big upset last year, Carolina going to Clemson and winning. I think the Tigers get revenge. 8-4 is my final record for them. I assume you've got 6-6.
Six and six or 7 and 5 if they can. I think there's the possibility of upsetting either Alabama or A&M, maybe both.
It's
So there are swing games for me. I'm not as hard set on this team being 6 and 6.
Yeah.
I think they could very easily go 8 and 4.
What's
And
interesting
that's
though is,
Shane Beamer. That's who Shane Beamer is. It's
yeah.
6 and 6 or 8 and 4. That
At the
kind of
same
seems like
time,
who he is.
like you're saying that there's some swing games where they could finish 8-4. I'd say there's some swing games where they could finish 10-2. They could beat Missouri. They could beat Clemson. They could beat LSU or Alabama. They could win these games. And when you have an elite quarterback, and if that's what we're going to say Sellers is, that gives you a fighting chance in every game you play. So South Carolina's a very interesting team to watch
Yeah.
this season. Who to get next week? I really need to go back and listen to who we've talked about throughout this.
I
We still
thought you've been
I
keeping
haven't
up on your
done
helmet schedule.
I haven't I keep up with the game, but I haven't like I didn't put like a check mark or anything for every time we've done one. So I'll figure it out. We know we're a couple weeks away from State and Ole Miss, so we'll get those done. Don't you worry. All right. Tomorrow show is the Rumblings. Robbie, if you'll fire off a tweet, we will get some questions in and we will get those answered. Like I said, Thursday show, we've got two positional breakdowns to do this week, linebackers and cornerbacks. And we'll recap everything we talked about at MSU's assistant coach availability on Tuesday. Guys, have a great Tuesday. Back with you soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.